Welcome to Canucks Talk on a Friday. It's Josh Elliott Wolf here with you. We also got Thomas Drantz in Toronto. We'll bring him in a moment. Lena Costa producing the show. And we are coming to you live from the Kintech studio. Kintech Footwear and Orthotics working together with you in step. You can text in 650-650. The Dunbar Lumber text line, Metro Vancouver's trusted choice for contractors and reno warriors for over 50 years. Visit them at one of their three locations to serve you, or online at DunbarLumber.com. I'm filling in for Jamie today, who is filling in for Halford on the morning show. So, Thomas, how are you? You're in Toronto, I heard.
I am in Toronto, so I'm not in Carolina for the game tonight. Looking forward to watching it, however, and looking forward to covering the Canucks-Leafs game, which will be a tough one. I mean, look, these are two tough games coming up on deck. We'll get into it more on the whiteboard, but, man, there's a lot in Vancouver's favor tonight. They really should win tonight, even if they're not favored on the money line. Going to be a fascinating test for a group that needs to get off the schneid, having dropped three in a row.
Definitely. Let's get into all of that. It's time for the whiteboard.
All right, now, fellas. Hey, let's focus up, huh?
So it is the whiteboard, your daily deep dive into what's up with the Vancouver Canucks. And the headline, the Vancouver Canucks taking on the Carolina Hurricanes tonight in Carolina. It's the first game of a back-to-back for Vancouver, but it's the second half of a back-to-back for Carolina. They beat the Leafs 6-3 last night. It's also their fifth game in 7 days. You mentioned the schedule kind of going the Canucks' way. That's what you're referring to. It does, like, look, the Hurricanes are a big test, but a lot of scheduling favor going in the Canucks' way tonight. So while it will be a difficult game, the Canucks theoretically should be set up much better to win a game like this than they would be in a normal game against the Carolina Hurricanes.
Yeah, look, 5-7 is brutal. I mean, you have to play multiple back-to-back sets to hit 5-7. You would think that the Carolina Hurricanes, especially in the third period tonight, are going to be vulnerable. But it's not just that. It's, you know, reportedly, per Farhan Lalji and Patrick Johnston, Elias Pettersson and Thatcher Demko are expected to play. I think we knew that anyway, given Tockett's commentary about Pettersson having been cleared, the fact that Artur Shelovs was reassigned. I guess maybe there was some suspense about whether Demko would play tonight or tomorrow against the Maple Leafs, but, you know, Demko looks like he'll start tonight, according to reports. So the Canucks get two big contributors back. And then you've got Dustin Tokarski in net for the Carolina Hurricanes. Man, I mean, he is.
I'm just so happy that he's still around, you know? Good for Tokarski.
Yeah, I mean, he replaced, what, Carey Price after Carey Price got smoked by Chris Kreider in the Stanley Cup, or sorry, the Eastern Conference Final. What year was that? 2013, 2014,
yeah,
something
2014,
like that?
Like, yeah.
That was a decade plus ago.
Yeah, and he's still here. He's still kicking. You know, good for Tokarski.
I guess, but he's, you know, been well under 900 save percentage across his last 40 NHL starts. You know, I mean, he doesn't even really put up great numbers in the American League at this point. You know, you'd expect the Canucks to get one that's on the goaltender at least. Mm-hmm. You know, like this is a huge swing in Vancouver's favor tonight. So when you put all that together, you know, I know the Canucks aren't favored, right? But man, this is a game that if the Canucks are a good team, right, and they have this many of their key players back, even if they're not at 100%, and they have this much of a schedule advantage, and they're shooting on Dustin Tokarski, you got to find a way to win tonight. Like, this is a vital one in terms of just how I'll kind of view what this team is. I've mostly been pretty positive despite the losing. Mm-hmm. I've liked the effort, the battle level that this team has played with pretty consistently since Christmas. You know, I've seen signs of life. I think they even held up better than I thought without Quinn Hughes in the lineup for a stretch. You know, there have been moments, stretches of games that I haven't liked. I thought the first period in Washington, they were liable to get skated off the ice. I thought the second and third periods, obviously against Montreal was able to skate through them. There is a speed edge that the Carolina Hurricanes are going to have in this game. I don't know. Did you watch that Leafs-Carolina game last night?
Yeah, they're fast.
They were dissecting the Leafs off the rush. Like, it was it's actually wild that they only scored six. You know, like it looked like at will, they were not just getting off the rush, but then they were getting cross seam passes or sort of cross ice passes and really challenging those goaltenders east west. Like it was a pretty iffy shooting percentage that kept that game from getting crooked in terms of the number of goals that the Hurricanes were able to score. And look, at the end of the day, they were playing their fourth and sixth that night too. So some extra wear and tear beyond that. But nonetheless, this is a team that can get after you off the rush. And the Canucks have struggled against this precise mode of team. But yeah, for all that I've liked where the Canucks game is trending, despite a pretty miserable run of results here. I mean, one regulation win, that over the San Jose Sharks in their last 10 isn't exactly confidence inspiring. But this is a game where if the Canucks are the team we thought they were going into the season, you know, they should win despite the quality of their opponent.
That is the thing is we can look at this and be like, hey, you know what? Maybe they're trending in the right direction. There are some positive signs, but eventually you do have to get the results, right? Especially when you're a team who, like, I think we can all agree we're not super worried about the teams that are chasing the Canucks in the playoff chase. But that being said, you're still right on the bar of the playoffs right now. So you do have to start putting up results, especially when the schedule goes in your favor, like it does tonight for the Canucks against Carolina. I am interested to see how the first period goes, because that tends to be, hey, if you're a team on a back-to-back, on the second half of the back-to-back, you, if you've got your legs, it tends to be in the first period. And then by the third is where the team that's a little more rested can try to take advantage. I worry.
Josh, just to come back to that point. No, quickly, just to come back to that point. What does that dictate? That dictates that if you're able to get an early lead, right? If you're able to get a 2-1 lead or a 1-0 lead, if you're able to go into the third period leading and you force a tired team to chase, like that's when, first of all, like injury risk goes up for your opponent. But also that's when the game really plays into your favor, because tired teams make bigger mistakes and pressing teams are going to play more aggressive and make bigger mistakes. And that gives you a chance to pad your lead. So, I mean, this is one where if you can win the first period, man, you're going to be in a very, very good spot.
So we can kind of combine this with the lineup notes part of the whiteboard, but you mentioned it, Farhan Lalji, and multiple reports expecting that both Elias Pettersson and Thatcher Demko are going to play tonight for the Canucks. Do you worry at all about how Carolina approaches their offense? Demko isn't, this isn't the same as when he came back from the Popliteus injury. He's a little more, he's played games more recently, right? But do you worry about a team that goes east to west a lot for maybe a little rusty Thatcher Demko, that this might not be the best landing spot? I mean, eventually you do have to put him in, right? But I wonder about that a little bit. Playing against Carolina, a team that might make him move a little bit more, I'm curious to see how that's going to look. I don't know if it's a big concern, but that's I'm just keeping an eye on that, I guess, tonight.
Yeah, I think we have to monitor it, right? I mean, Demko noted to Ian McIntyre on Tuesday that his back had been sort of acting up before the Seattle game, right? Before he even had to leave due to that spasms sort of ailment that he was working through. So, yeah, I mean, look, Demko's played, is it six full games? Mm-hmm. And then he appeared in a seventh and had to leave with an unrelated injury again. So, you know, we're still at the point where I think Demko's durability is something that a lot of Canucks fans, right? I mean, you and I had the tiff right before Christmas where you were like injury prone. And I was like, no, how dare you? But like at some point, right, that becomes a label that's harder for me to push back on. Mm-hmm. Right. The more times we have those moments where Canucks fans are sort of seeing the grim at the bottom of their teacup, right, with Demko leaving the net for injury related reasons. So, I mean, I think tonight you definitely worry about the Hurricanes east west. Their ability to attack east west off the rush is high end. They've completely rethought the way they do offense. This is not a shoot from anywhere team anymore. This is a team that is going to generate quality and does so better than just about anyone that's not Edmonton. And, you know, so it's a tough test for Demko. And yet I think from our perspective, We're still sort of in a point where we're looking for Demko to like play a bunch, play some boring games, right? Shake off rust. We're not expecting Vezina level Demko off the hop here. Not just because he's returning from this injury, but because, you know, he's still within the first month returning from a really serious injury that, you know, as he's talked about, like has changed certain things or certain feelings in terms of how he plays generally. So, you know, we're still very much, or he's still very much in a feeling out process. Our evaluation of him and our expectations of him should reflect that. And I think more than anything, we just want to see him make it through 60 minutes, you know, in an uneventful manner and then continue to do so over the next few weeks.
That's Thatcher Demko. Elias Pettersson also expected to play for the Canucks today. No official update from Rick Tocchet at Morning Skate, was not asked about it. But again, multiple reports expecting Elias Pettersson to play. And I think it's a safe assumption, especially after ahead of last game, Rick Tocchet was like, hey, it's kind of up to him. He's cleared to play. So would be very surprising, I guess, not to see Elias Pettersson play for the Canucks tonight. Has missed six full games and expected to get back into action. What do you expect from Pettersson tonight? What do you want to see from Pettersson tonight in Carolina?
Well, it sucks because we've been watching Pettersson play and wondering sort of, even when he's playing well in a pretty direct manner, as opposed to showing some of that, you know, dynamic juice that has typically been a feature of his game, certainly when he's been at his best. And, you know, he kind of put it all together, I would say, in that game against the San Jose Sharks, probably his most impressive, vital game of the year from a doing really cool stuff offensively perspective. And then he immediately gets it hurt, right? I mean, that's just rotten luck for Pettersson. And so I think more than anything, I'm looking to see, you know, what sort of juice does he have tonight? Like, can he, you know, it's not so much for me about like, does this injury have a long-term impact for him? It's more about whether or not he's able to sort of is he able to get back into the lineup and have that confidence that he appeared to find against the Sharks right off the hop? That to me is what I'm sort of most interested in monitoring tonight.
That would be a very encouraging sign. I don't know if it's the expectation for me, but I do. That would be wonderful. It'd be wonderful to see Elias Pettersson see him pick right back up where he left off. I do, just before we move off of Pettersson, I do kind of wonder what the frustration level with Pettersson is, because we saw the stuff from former NHLers, or maybe not former, I forget who it was, but there's been stuff going around on the internet talking about, hey, Elias Pettersson, like the JT Miller, Quinn Hughes, they're playing through these injuries. Why isn't Elias Pettersson? And combine that with the Rick Tocchet saying that, hey, he's cleared to play, it's up to him in that last game. I do wonder where the frustration level might be within the organization regarding Elias Pettersson, especially, you know, the things kind of compact as the season goes on, right? He hasn't played up to his expected level, especially when you factor in the contract. He has the injury and maybe he could have come back sooner. Who knows? It's hard to speculate on that. And in the end, it is up to Pettersson. But I just wonder if there's a frustration rising within the team. And hey, it probably goes away pretty easily if he plays well tonight and continues to play well. But if he doesn't, I wonder if that potentially picks up. And I don't know. That's just kind of something I've been wondering about with Pettersson.
It's a perfectly fair point, especially when you consider some of the recent reporting. Like, think about earlier this season when there was the Friedman reporting about the Canucks having, you know, sort of tasked players in the locker room to sort of toughen Pettersson up, right? Like, explicitly. You know, that was something that the organization wanted to accomplish. You know, then you sort of factor in Frank Saravalli's reporting over the past few months about the differing views of Pettersson's injury in the playoffs, right, versus how the team viewed that ailment, right? I mean, you put it all together, and I think what you're bringing up is, you know, more than valid. Like, I think it's a perfectly reasonable thing to be curious about. And so, yeah, I mean, I think getting him back and then getting him up to his usual form, I think that's essential for this team. And I'm sure is something that the team is eager to see for a variety of reasons, both on and off ice in nature.
Into the broadsheet, kind of a quiet day. 32 Thoughts podcast released, and every time that happens, I'm like, okay, there's going to be something. But there wasn't really anything in there, especially regarding Elias Pettersson and JT Miller. Chris Johnston had both Miller and Pettersson at the top of his trade bait list, so just another list that's come out that has one of or both of Elias Pettersson and JT Miller featured in it. So I feel like that's kind of obvious at this point. Their names are out there, and they're clearly the two most talented forwards or talented players that have their names out there around the NHL right now. So add another insider to the list of adding to the fire of Miller and Pettersson.
Yeah, I mean, it's universal at this point, right? But the thing I want to quickly note, too, is the drama and the short-lived drama in Boston. A reporter on WEEI Sports Talk Radio in Boston, Massachusetts, suggesting that there was something of a rift or a tiff between Brad Marchand and David Pastrnak of the Boston Bruins. If you go to Bruins socials, if you go watch how those players talked about it, to the media today, I think you'll find it in pretty sharp contrast with how the Canucks handled it. Now, I'm not criticizing the Canucks messaging on this, but because actually for a deliberate reason. One is, did the Bruins draw from the Canucks experience in sort of deciding how to address this head on? But here's the other one is, you know, I can't help but note that, like, really every time the Pettersson Miller stuff seemed about to die down, it was kind of Canucks commentary that sort of livened it up. You know, you could say like the Canucks didn't do a good enough job nipping this in the bud, but I also sort of do wonder, at least part of me wonders, you know, what is the club, was the club happy to try and challenge some of their best players to be better generally? Was that, you know, partially by design? Because it would certainly explain, you know, at least offer us a partial explanation of just how voluminous this sort of chatter has been across the last few weeks. So just a contrast that I found interesting. You can sort of take from it multiple lines of either criticism or reflect on it in a variety of different ways. But I don't sort of view it as something where it's like, why didn't the Canucks do this? In part because I think the Bruins had the benefit of the Canucks experience, but also, you know, I'm not perfectly convinced that the Canucks were unhappy necessarily with the volume of chatter that's been around the team, especially given the sort of effort level that they've got from this group over the past 2 weeks.
Yeah, especially when you have Patrick Alvin coming out and being like, you know what, they can play better, and that plays into it, and that lit a fire. But
anything can happen.
Anything,
you know, trading Pettersson, anything can happen. You know Jim's history, anything can happen.
Is not what the Bruins did today. The Bruins put out that fire almost immediately, got Brad Marchand and David Pastrnak to speak to media, and now it's we've kind of already moved
shared
on.
Shared photos of them. Yeah, shared photos of them, like, arms around each other on the ice. I mean, it was a full-court press in a way that, if, you know, like, it's not like the Canucks don't know that they could have done that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a very easy solution, especially when we were early in this. Now, if they did it, it'd be kind of weird. But early in this process, it would have solved a few issues.
You're not wrong.
On the lineup notes, we touched on most of it, but I did want to ask, who do you think comes out of the lineup if Pettersson does play tonight? The three, I think, clear main options, the fourth liners, Max Sassen, PDG, Nils Höglander. Let me ask it this way. Who would you take out of the lineup, and who do you think comes out of the lineup? Because I think those are two separate things.
Yeah, I think it should be Max Sassen. And I think that is, in fact, what will happen. But, you know, we are still at a point of the season where the Canucks, I think, need to be mindful of, like, what does their full strength team look like? What does a team that gets themselves back on track and actually contends to do something meaningful in the West look like? And I just don't see a path for them that doesn't involve getting back to getting top six level contributions from Nils Höglander down the stretch and into the playoffs. Like, this team doesn't get to where they want to go without Höglander being an X factor type difference maker for them in the middle six, period. Right. Now, look, the mistake in Montreal, he then plays the fewest minutes against Washington. There's sort of a fact pattern of trust here that would, I think, lead you fairly to suggest that it's probably going to be Nils Höglander. But, you know, I think you still have to be mindful of maintaining his value and of making sure that every time this young player makes a mistake, the consequences aren't you're out. Mm-hmm. You're out. We're playing PDG and Max Sasson ahead of you. Like, that they've committed to this guy. You know, they've committed to this guy. He had a bad back check against Carolina and then was played 2 months of hockey on the fourth line. He sort of starts to come on, takes a bad penalty, is sort of in the wrong place in a key defensive situation. And now back to the fourth line. It's like at some point you've got to show a guy some trust. You've got to use the carrot and the stick, I think, a little bit if you're going to get the best out of a guy whose confidence has clearly ebbed and flowed a little bit over the course of the season. This team needs to invest some faith, I think, in Nils Höglander. So I'd be pretty disappointed if it was him who came out.
I wouldn't even be opposed to him. Like, you put Pettersson back in the lineup and you're like, hey, here's your buddy. Play with Nils Höglander for a game and see what happens, right? But
I wouldn't be opposed to seeing him play with Lekkerimäki and Pettersson. Like, yeah. throw
the Swedes together.
Throw the Swedes together, and then you can hit, you know, DeBrusque back up with Miller and Besser, and you know, I mean, it's tough. Like this Carolina lineup obviously opens up a big can of worms, but for me, you know, one of the big impacts of getting Pettersson back is getting Bluger back onto the fourth line, right? And getting Suter back onto the third. And you can play like the Suter-Garland axis with whomever. And that's what I want to see tonight. That's what I hope we see tonight. And then Brännström, I think, should be in the lineup, even if they go 11-7, which I know Tockett doesn't like to do. But I think what we're seeing in overtime shows you that Brännström needs to be in the lineup. I mean, this team might have two extra points if they could reliably spot Quinn Hughes a breather here down the stretch.
Quickly before we go, playoff standings update, playoff odds update. Up to 79% chance, according to The Athletic, for the Canucks to make the playoffs. Still 1 point up on the Flames. Vegas, Seattle, Edmonton, they all lose last night. Betting odds, Trance, do you have those up before we go?
Yeah, and so while the Canucks have upgraded their playoff odds, presumably the Dylan Gunther injury, indefinite lower body injury for the young Utah Hockey Club star, factors into that. But the Vegas odds still minus 180 for the Canucks to move the playoffs, unmoved across the last few days and way down from like minus 400, minus 450 where they peaked not too long ago. Canucks tonight are plus 150 on the money line. Hurricanes minus 180, so that's about a two-thirds chance, a 33% implied probability of victory for the Vancouver Canucks. Over-under is set at 6, which, you know, Hurricanes game set at 6. That's a reflection of their sort of offensive teeth, and also perhaps the fact that Dustin Tokarski is making the start for them. I do want to note one thing really quickly, Josh, in the betting odds. Futures odds, the Canucks Stanley Cup odds, have taken a huge hit over the course of the month. They've spent most of the year at like 15, somewhere hovering between 18 to 1 and 15 to 1 to win the Stanley Cup. Today, you can buy the Canucks at 28 to 1 to win the Stanley Cup. Now, there's part of me that looks at this and thinks, man, like the Caps are 15 to 1, the Lightning are 18 to 1, the Kings are 15 to 1. The Canucks are 28 to 1. For context, like, The teams below them, Boston 35-1, Ottawa 40-1, the Rangers 45-1. Like, among those teams that are 25-1 plus to win the Stanley Cup, you know, not that I'm vouching for this, but don't the Canucks have the most straightforward path?
Yeah.
For what you can tell yourself at that price? You know, I don't bet on hockey, but and I'm not suggesting that our listeners necessarily do this, but in a world where the Canucks have significantly lower odds to win the Cup than the Lightning or the Kings, I just feel like the Canucks need less to go right for them. It's just like, get healthy and make a deal for a top four defenseman. And I feel like put it this way. I think their real price should be something more like in between Washington and Tampa Bay, something like 16 to one, but right now they're 28 to one, which I guess prices in the risk that they fall out entirely. But I mean, I kind of look at that and think that's a little bit off. That's a misprice for me And so I just wanted to flag that.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Before we go, JamPro, from warehouses to washrooms and everywhere in between, JamPro keeps workplaces tidy, clean, and disinfected. For a free quote, visit jampro.ca. It is Canucks Talk. Josh Elliott Wolf, Thomas Drantz. That was the whiteboard. On the other side, we've got an open segment. So text in 650-650, Dunbar Lumber text line. If you have any questions, anything you want us to hit on as the show goes on, by the way, Dmitry Filipovich is going to join us at 1 o'clock. And at 1:30, Barclay Parnetta, Vancouver Giants GM, will join us as well. It is Canucks Talk. Josh Elliott Wolf, Thomas Drantz on Sportsnet 650.